We lost a beloved, Philando Castile, last summer. He was a dad, a son, a fiancé, a cherished member of his professional community at J.J. Hill Elementary School in St. Paul. He was also a black man in Minnesota. He had been pulled over by police for minimal offenses, like failing to signal a turn, more times in the last few years than I ever will be in my lifetime as a white woman. This time, a routine stop for a taillight outage turned into his last. His four-year-old stepdaughter and his fiance watched him die while pleading for his life after a cop shot him in his car. I have to admit, as a white person, I held out hope that it would be different this time and there would be a conviction. I had hoped that perhaps the details of this case, the fact that a child was watching, that his death was live streamed across the internet so that his dying face even wound up on the front page of national newspapers, the fact that he worked at a largely white elementary school where he was beloved by tons of white people, I had thought maybe he was the right victim for white people to be able to see his humanity, see him as their own son, uncle, dad, brother, beloved. But that sentence makes me cringe as I say it. It reeks of victim blaming. It's like saying to a woman, maybe this time the rape case will be tried successfully because she was wearing pants and not a skirt. That's how hard, I guess, I have been working to hold out some kind of faith in the way our policing system works. I didn't even realize I was doing it, contorting reality, until I saw the verdict and found myself surprised. And then I went on Facebook. And I realized that it was my fellow white folks who expressed surprise. My black friends were devastated, but most were not surprised. As the aunt of another black man killed by police in the last few years here in Minnesota, Marcus Golden, said at the rally on Friday night, "The system was not made for justice for us." It's true. The modern policing system in our country was first designed to catch runaway slaves. It was a slave patrol, and it still carries that work in its DNA. I do not mean to stand up here and just depress you, but in times like these, I have to remind you that just because I'm a pastor, I don't have any more answers than you do. The difference between us is that I have this really strange job where I have to stand in front of you each week and talk honestly about what it means to be human in these times, where it hurts, where I see God, and how we can do it just a little bit better together. Yeah, that's what I want to do. My job is not to model doing it right, but to model the great mess of living open to God, of being willing to be transformed in the service of building God's world here and now. And today, that means being willing to talk about the painful mess of what it means to be white and to be living in white supremacy culture, the day after, the weekend after Philando Castile's crucifier was found innocent. So I stand here, messy and without answers. I stand here talking, and I really just want to sit silently and let the grief of this city cleanse my soul of complicity, like a baptism in grief. But instead, I'm going to talk to you about Sabbath, which might sound a little bit strange. But as the great Joshua Heschel, rabbi and civil rights activist of the 1960s, said, even when the soul is seared, Even when no prayer can come out of our tightened throats, the clean, silent rest of Sabbath leads us to a realm of endless peace, or the beginning of an awareness of what eternity means. Eternity utters a day we call Sabbath. The Sabbath appears many times in the Bible, but it's first and foremost a part of the creation story. It's the culmination of creation, the only thing that God calls holy. So God blessed the seventh day and called it holy because on it God rested. I love that. God rested. Think about that for a moment. When you're up at night not able to sleep because of your to-do list or the anxieties about the day or week or year to come, when you're trying to figure out if you have the energy to go to one more meeting or respond to one more email or make one more phone call, think about that. Nobody is designed to go and go and go and go and go. Even God rested. It is idolatry to think that busyness is holiness. God rested and called it holy. We are invited, and later in the Bible, commanded into that holy rest with God. Rabbi Heschel believed that we spend most of our lives navigating the world of place and space and things. But in that way of living, of acquiring things, acquiring land, in filling up and taking up space, we are in competition with each other, which is part of why we are commanded into Sabbath each week. In Heschel's poetic prose, he puts it this way: "This very moment belongs to all living beings as it belongs to me. We share time. We own space. Through my ownership of space, I am a rival of all other beings. Through my living in time, I am a contemporary of all other beings. We pass through time. We occupy space. We easily succumb to the illusion that the world of space is for our sake, for humanity's sake. In regard to time, we are immune to such an illusion." In other words, the Sabbath is a holy time that recreates us in God's image again, equally in God's image. You, me, Philando. We were each made equally in God's image. Sabbath time, holy rest time with God reminds us. But just one caveat. Sabbath is not the same as self-care in the individual and consumer sense of that phrase. Sabbath is not about comfort or numbing ourselves out. Sabbath is about recreation, of ourselves and the world. As Rabbi Heschel says, the act of bringing the world into existence is a continuous process. God called the world into being, and that call goes on. There is the present moment because God is present. Every instant is an act of creation. A moment is not a terminal, but a flash, a signal of beginning. Time is perpetual innovation, a synonym for continuous creation. Beloveds, I am tired this morning. I haven't taken the invitation or commandment to Sabbath seriously this week. I need our Lindale tradition of Sabbath summers to help me recreate that discipline in my life. And I can feel in my bones that I need it. because I know the Sabbath is what allows us to keep going through the mess, to keep being open to being recreated by God so we can keep on helping to build God's world here and now. I invite you to join me this week in choosing at least one of these principles of Sabbath to practice for a full day. This list is distilled by a group of young Reformed Jews in what they call the Sabbath Manifesto. These are their 10 principles. Avoid technology. Connect with loved ones. Nurture your health. Get outside. Avoid commerce. Light candles. Drink wine. Eat bread. Find silence and give back. Not to worry, you'll find print-offs of that list at the back of the sanctuary when you leave. So join me. Enter the temple of time with God to rest, to be recreated, to be held in holy time where we are all created truly perfect in God's image. Because only then will we be able to sustain this work of justice and love and peace, of building the realm of the divine here and now, in this world, so there are no more crucifixions, no more philandos resting eternally too soon. Amen.